going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, right here live on our FTN Network YouTube page, also on Game Plus Network, part of Anthem Sports Entertainment. Chris Mina here with you. Daily Handle in the house. He's ready to go here. We welcome you in, sir. We have a heavy baseball show. I understand that it is Super Bowl week here. We've talked a lot about the Super Bowl, and I'll have another prop or two towards the end of this show. We're going to revisit the NHL. Got back underway yesterday, the second half after the All-Star break. We have six games on the ice tonight. The schedule is the slate's pretty weird, especially when you see the Chicago Blackhawks have the third highest team implied total on the slate. That just tells you a whole lot, really. But we do have a great matchup in Pittsburgh between the Avs and the Penguins, of course. Actually meant to share the board with you, Quan, so we can bring it up, but it was on Danglebud Sally. We had a nice little Nova Scotia flag from Fox, a little, you know, of course, me being from Scotia, and McKinnon and Crosby, two of the greats from Scotia, right? Four cups combined. These guys are always battling it out, working together on Citadel Hill in the offseason, running laps around Brad Marchand, but it should be a fun game tonight in Pittsburgh between those two teams. We do have MLB Dream. Daily Handle says pump for Dream to preview the MLB season. PTP, two exclamation marks there after PTP from Daily Handle with Jordan Allen. Yeah, MLB Dream is a GOAT. He had a lot of success over at FTNBets.com with a lot of his MLB picks, and super, super sharp, and I'm very excited to chop it up with him. Maybe we'll get a thought or two from the Super Bowl as well. We have been gathering some picks from our guests as well. So today with Dream, we're going to look at some MLB win totals and some things I touched on, but it's nice to get a different, fresh take, right? You know, my loser takes all the time. We got Dream's going to come on. We're going to do MLB team previews. We're going to take a look at MVP odds in the American League and the National League. We're also going to look at Rookie of the Year odds in the American League, of course, because there is an O up at the top, favorite to win the award. We're going to dive into Dream's Baltimore Orioles, and we're going to take a look at the AL East. We're going to look at the odds, the win totals, and also a little bit of a betting fantasy spin as well. We've got some ADPs over the last 4 weeks, NFBC high stakes leagues. High stakes drafts are happening every night. Like they really are. Our guy Vlad Sedler, who is all over our fantasy baseball draft kit. I have my hand in there. Dream has his hand in there. A lot of sharp minds in that draft kit. It's fantastic. I mean, we have a link inside the description of this video as well. And you can check it out. Use promo code MEANIE. Save yourself a little bit of cash. But we're going to talk about the AL East, and it is it's a great division. Matt Bess is in the house, so we're making a 10-way opening day dinger parlay, right? soon, but we will. Of course, we will on this show. Matty Bess in the house, a friend of the show and a super sharp dude and a good pal of mine, so welcome in, dude. But yeah, we're going to dive into some baseball stuff here in just a little bit, some NHL props. As I mentioned, Blackhawks, third highest team implied total here of the slate, on the slate, so it's a weird night, but we did have a pretty good day yesterday. We had Bo Horvat for the shots. Man, Dougie Hamilton really let us down. We had Dougie Hamilton. We could have went Jack Hughes. He had 9 shots. Jack Hughes, always in play, even at 4.5. He's just a freak, man. He's having a really good season. But we did have Elias Pettersson. We had hints into Foley in the parlay at +193. We did not get Dougie Hamilton. We did not get a Matthew Barzal assist. But he did score a goal, and we did get Jack Hughes for 2 points at +130. So we'll try to continue here. And before we get going, before we break and bring in Dream, there was a couple of housekeeping items I wanted to address. One was AJ Green. I want to give him a little bit of love. He announced his retirement yesterday. I know the past couple seasons have been, you know, very mediocre from AJ Green. Really haven't seen a whole lot from him since he really missed the entire season in 2019. He was playing for a new contract. He was dealing with an ankle injury. The Bengals didn't want to pay him. He didn't want to play. I remember producing hear that podcast growling over at The Athletic with Paul Daniel Jr. and Jay Morrison, two guys that cover the Bengals for The Athletic. And I remember just the turmoil, the drama that one season with AJ Green. But man, this guy had a really, really good season. You know, he started off his campaign with 5 straight 1,000-yard seasons. He had double-digit touchdowns in 3 of those 5 seasons. He was just a really good wide receiver. And, you know, it just happens. Unfortunately, you know, for some of these guys in the NFL, they kind of just hit a cliff and fall off, you know, even at age 34, but really good campaign. Don't think he's a Hall of Famer. There's been players I think that have gotten in with worse numbers, but AJ Green was, when he was playing He was an elite wide receiver and one of the best, like from a fantasy standpoint. And you know what? Played on some, you know, some okay Bengals teams. Andy Dalton was fine. He was okay. And the team made the playoffs a couple times, but ultimately, like, they weren't great squads for Cincinnati. But I mean, I'm looking at the back of the football card here, some really good campaigns, just nothing highlighted. You know, usually from Pro Football Reference, you can see, like, did he lead any certain categories? And he never really did, right? Of course, like in his draft, I remember, oh, Daily Handle says AJ Green should be Hall of Famer. I remember Julio as well, right? He wanted the Julio money a few years ago. Julio, definitely a for sure Hall of Famer. I don't know. Is he a Hall of Famer? AJ, for sure. Absolutely, you say? Okay, what do we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 1,000-yard seasons. I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm really feeling it. 158 games, 70 touchdowns. I don't know. I think he needed a couple more elite seasons, in my opinion, to be a Hall of Famer. Speaking of the Super Bowl, Kadarius Toney says he's definitely going to play in the Super Bowl. He's dealing with an ankle injury. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. But he says he's definitely going to play. Mecole Hardman is definitely not going to play. He was placed on IR. And the Chiefs activated. I'm just seeing some other news about Matt Ryan says he's opening to returning to the Colts in 2023. I don't think they're open to bringing you back, dude. No shots fired there. But I think they're going to move on from Matty Ice. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire was activated. I don't think he's going to be a big player in the game. We have talked at length about the key, I think, for the Eagles, what they need to do, and what the Chiefs do really well, screen passes. Man, 5.5 yards per screen catch, like those dump-offs that Mahomes and Andy Reid just has a history utilizing all of his running backs. It's the fifth highest mark in the NFL. And the Eagles, according to Football Outsiders, 24th. Against receiving running back. So it's, if there's a weakness on the squad defensively, it's that. It's stopping the run. It's stopping running backs out of the backfield, catching passes. But I can't imagine we're going to see CEH get a lot of run, with as well as Pacheco has looked over the past few games. And then Jerick McKinnon, who's has fantastic season, 9 receiving touchdowns, the better pass blocker, and the pressure that the Eagles can dial up. I can't imagine we're going to see a whole lot of CEH, but we're not going to see Mecole Hardman. It's been a rough second half for him. He had a really good stretch there before the injury where he was incorporated into the offense, especially inside the red zone. That's it for now. Football talk a little bit later on, where you got some props for you, some NHL props, but we're going to turn the page, talk a little MLB. I know it's a little early, but we're into February here now. Pitchers and catchers very, very soon. The season will be here before you know it. Daily Handles pump win totals, AL, NL, MVP odds, Orioles from a fantasy standpoint, from a betting standpoint, AL East. Take your questions. It's all happening here on Mean Streets. Keep your lock. MLB Dreams in here next. Welcome back in. MLB Dream joins us now, Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network, as well as our FTN Network YouTube page. And Maddie Bess is looking for you to have a 10-way opening day dinger parlay. And we're ready. We're ready for it, man. I know you're ready as well. Like, you can feel it. Baseball's in the air, right? It's officially here, I feel like, once the Super Bowl. Like, once the Super Bowl gets finished, like, people will really start diving into baseball. But of course, you and I and a lot of people over at FTN, we're already there, dude. Welcome in, man. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, we've been reading baseball articles now pretty much all off season. You definitely see a little bit uptick in baseball talk on the timeline during this off week before the Super Bowl, and it's kind of continued this week. So it's pretty cool to see. I'm super excited. Also looking forward to the WBC and checking out those rosters.
That's right.
But yeah, I'm happy to be here. I don't think this will be as profitable as the last time you and I were together. We gave out Pena World Series MVP 19-1, which cashed beautifully. Yeah. But let's try to find some winners today.
Yeah, what a stud, right? I mean, that guy is just, I mean, we talked about it, right, in the World Series. So to win he won the World Series MVP and then the ALCS MVP. The guy's in his first year as a rookie. He just looked like a seasonal vet. He looked fantastic. It was really nice. Speaking of the Super Bowl, I just want to get your thoughts. Do you have any? You're like, what do you think? Who do you think wins this game? It's just a tough one to call, man. It's like the closest spread in years. It's basically a coin flip at this point, man.
Yeah, I mean, I really think it is. We saw the Chiefs open it as favorites, quickly move to the Eagles, and it's kind of sat there at a 1.5 since then. Like, we're obviously never going to get towards 3. I wouldn't be surprised if money comes back on KC.
I could see that too.
I don't know if this is me just my rooting interest, but I kind of I'm hoping for an over. I could kind of, hopefully we get more than 51 points. I just want a good game. I did bet Jalen Hurts over rushing props. I think over 49.5. And then I got anytime touchdown, I think at around plus 115. But yeah, I'm really just hoping for an entertaining game here.
Yeah, I feel you on the over on Hurts. Our guy Ratcliffe is against that. He's on the under, but you know, I saw Jalen run a little bit more last week and design runs, and I know he's not 100%, but a couple weeks off. And the Chiefs have struggled against some rushing quarterbacks, like Josh Allen comes to mind as well. So we'll see what happens there. And I agree with you as well on the spread. I think it might go the other way. I think it may go close to a pick 'em or maybe slight favorites for Kansas City by the time kickoff.
I mean, we saw Hurts last week. I feel like he got a large majority of those rushing yards on one drive, really. So I feel like if the game was a little bit closer, I'm pretty sure he would have got there. I think he finished like 4 or 5 yards short. But yeah, so I mean, this will be a high scoring close game. I really think he should be able to break 50 here.
Yeah, I think he's going to flirt with that number, and it should be competitive, right? I don't think it's going to be a blowout either way, but we'll see. We're still a couple of days away, and we'll have lots of football to talk the rest of the way here, but we're going to switch gears just a little bit, talk some baseball. As I mentioned off the top of the show, we are going to dive into the Orioles and the AL East and their fantasy assets and from a betting standpoint in just a little bit. But first, let's do some win total stuff here, and, you know, Quan, whatever way you want to go, AL, NL, I think we got odds for both. You know, as we roll through some of this, I'll read it off for the iTunes and Spotify family out there. The Astros up at the top. I mean, no surprise, right? 95.5. The Yankees, 94.5. I tried to grab, like, the best number I could see in the prop shop. Some of these may have changed just slightly, but Blue Jays, 90.5. The Rays, 88.5. So right off the hop, I mean, the top four teams here in the AL, three of them from the AL East. The Mariners, 87.5. I think that you and I chatted about the Mariners a lot heading into last season as the, you know, the up-and-coming squad with a lot of their young bucks, and they certainly made some noise last year. Cleveland at 86.5, the White Sox at 83.5, the Rangers, Jacob DeGrom, right? They spent some money. They've spent a lot of money over the past couple of seasons. Minnesota Twins, 81.5. Carlos Correa back with the Twins after all. I love the MLB show, the cover that they made. I know it wasn't real, but it was like Carlos Correa on the Twins, on the Mets, and on the Giants. The Angels at 80.5 every year at 80.5. 77.5, the Red Sox, the Orioles at 76.5, the Tigers 69.5, KC 68.5, the A's 60.5. I tend to hammer like unders on brutal baseball teams, and I know 60.5 is pretty low, but I feel like it's going to be a long year again for Oakland. I personally have a lean to the over on Seattle again. I think that they're, you know, a 90-win team. I like their rotation. I still like their bullpen. You know, obviously the kids, you know, made some noise. They got Teoscar Hernandez on the squad there now. I do like Seattle. I can't get behind those. Like, I can't take overs on the mid-90s. But when you look at this board, what do you see? Is there anything that really jumps out at you? Or are the Rangers going to be a good baseball team this year? On paper, they're good, but that's on paper.
I mean, yeah, I'm kind of with you here. Nothing really jumps out. Obviously, we do have a few rule changes this year, and one of them is the change in schedule. So teams are going to be facing less divisional opponents, which should be better. Good news for the AL East teams.
Absolutely.
Honestly, I'm on the fence. I think I would lean under on that Rangers just because of their lineup, especially the bottom half of it. But it's their brutal. Rotation looks great. I don't really know what to expect from their bullpen at this point. Oakland, I definitely wouldn't bet that over. The only thing that would make me feel more comfortable about the under is if they had some more major league assets that they would probably look to trade, but that doesn't really seem to be the case. And I do like your Mariners look. They got Castillo at the end of last season. They got Teoscar in the offseason. So I do think they are better than they were just to start last year. So I would definitely lean over there. And man, I'm a sucker for the Twins. I think I would go over that 81.5 there as well.
And the division is still not great, right? For like, you see the teams here, like Cleveland 86.5, Chicago 83.5, and then you got the Twins, and then you got the Tigers and the Royals. I know that you brought up a good point, right? You're not going to have as many divisional games. Halo fans, you're not going to have to play the Astros 17 times and watch them lose 15 times and get spanked, you know, by like 7+ runs in half of those games. So it's good you can play some other teams here, but you know, still with Minnesota, like that division is definitely up for grabs. Bringing back Carlos Correa. I feel you there. You know, I like their lineup a little bit, but I really like this Mariners rotation. You mentioned Castillo, man. He was fantastic. He was such a great get for Seattle. Logan Gilbert, Robbie Ray, George Kirby, you know, even Marco Gonzalez. Like, he's not a great fantasy pitcher. He's a better real life pitcher. He pitches to contact, but, you know, he keeps the ball on the ground for the most part. He's not a bad five. He has some like decent games here and there, but the bullpen is still pretty solid as well with Seattle, and I do like their lineup. There's definitely some holes. I see Colton Wong is now a Mariner. Eugenio Suarez had a decent bounce back. Never going to give you a great average, but you know, Julio Rodriguez obviously is the engine, and that kid's a stud. So I think we're on the same page with some of these totals. Let's I think that's it. Like Texas, so you don't feel like the over 82, you would lean with the under. So you don't think that they're a playoff team?
I definitely don't think that they're a playoff team. I mean, it's tough to say at this point. Like, if you can tell me how many innings we're going to get out of DeGrom, then yeah, I can more accurately tell you if they're going to be a playoff team or not. But I do really like their rotation, even though there are a handful of guys with injury concerns in there. But at this point, no, I would probably bet against them making the playoffs. And I'm curious to see what that number is at. I think that might be a bet I'd prefer instead of betting the under on their team total, if it's anywhere near like minus 130, minus 135 or something like that, to not make the playoffs.
Is there any surprises? I feel like they're a little overrated as well, Texas. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if the under with Texas and LA both hit. Like, are there any surprises here? Like, I know it's early and we're just getting a good feel and we're just looking at it. If we're like circling playoff teams here, I would circle the Astros, the Yankees, the Bluebirds. I would go with Seattle in here. And I know we're going to dive into maybe we just save it, AL East. Who would be your playoff teams as of right now?
I mean, literally everyone you just named, the Astros, the Yankees, the Blue Jays. I like what Toronto's done this year. They didn't, we saw them in years past try to, win the offseason championship and sign every single big name. And that's not what they did this offseason. They kind of, worked on the bullpen, worked on the outfield defense, and, just kind of tried to round out the roster a little bit better than it has been in the years past. Now, I still don't like having Kikuchi as their number five starter, but I do think they're a really good team. And so I do like them to, along with the Yankees, to come out of the AL East and make the playoffs there. I think one of the surprises, and maybe not necessarily something that I'm that surprised about, but people seeing the Red Sox and the Orioles projections so close. And yes, I've been ragging on the Red Sox all offseason. It's been like one of the worst off seasons possible them. But I do think their bullpen is really good. I think they made some really nice moves in the pen, and the rotation is solid. I just don't really know how it's going to shake out with the injury concerns and just like the limited innings all of those guys seem to have. I think it would be ideal if they went to, piggyback two or three of those starters together, but I doubt they do that. So I'm just curious to see how that rotation really shakes out.
I would say it's, and we'll get into the Rays in a little bit. It's like always a team that a lot of people count out at the end of the day. They just always seem to be there, battling in October. But I would say, Quan, if we bring that board back up, I mean, those teams that we talked about with the Astros, the Yankees, the Blue Jays, the Mariners, there's four right there. You're going to have a division winner, of course, in the Central. I probably have a lean to Cleveland, but I wouldn't be shocked. Like, I really do feel like that's up for grabs, the White Sox and the Twins. And I don't think at any three of those teams will get that other wild card spot. And then we'd see maybe either the Rays or, your O's really push as well. And maybe the Angels and Texas kind of, hang around. But I would say playoff teams, Astros, Yankees, Blue Jays, and Mariners for sure. And then Quan tells us the Rangers minus 250 not to make the playoffs, plus 200 to make the playoffs. But a lot does have to go well, man. Like, DeGrom's what? Like 30 starts in the last 3 years. Like, he's the best pitcher when he's playing, but there's a lot of risk in that contract,
right? And then if you look at their lineup as well, they have Adolis Garcia projected to hit cleanup right now, Jonah Heim bat fifth. I mean, their bottom half of the order is pretty abysmal. And yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you in the Central. It's kind of hard to pick one of those clubs. You love the Guardians pitching, like their rotation and their bullpen's both going to be great. We'll see if the White Sox improve by just getting rid of Tony La Russa. I wouldn't be surprised if that gets them a couple more wins. But yeah, absolutely. I definitely like those two clubs over the Rangers.
Tony La Russa in the dugout, half asleep.
In the first inning, man.
Yeah, like, in the first inning and this guy's asleep. I would say yes. getting rid of him for sure. You know that I'm a sucker for the White Sox, but they tend to disappoint. But, you know, they bring in Benintendi, so got Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez. If those two guys can stay healthy this year, Robert and Jimenez, like, they have to stay healthy, maybe a little bit more from Andrew Vaughn. And then, you know, we did see some decent things from Lynn in the second half. Giolito had a bit of a step back. I do like their rotation. Clevinger is a bit of a wild card. Kopech could be okay for them as well. So I am a sucker for the White Sox. A lot of people know that. I tend to take their overs, especially when they play lefties. Let's switch over to the NL. To the NL, we have the Dodgers up at the top, 95.5. The Braves at 94.5. The Mets also at 94.5. The Padres at 92.5. They made some noise in the offseason. Now Xander, a member of San Diego. The Cardinals, 88.5, as well as the Phillies, 80.5. There's seems like there's some better teams here, right? In the National League, there's a lot of teams at 88.5 and over compared to what we just saw in the American League. The Brewers at 85.5, the Cubbies at 83, the Giants, San Fran at 81.5, Miami at 74.5, as well as the Diamondbacks, and then just a lot of just garbage. Pirates, 67.5, Cincy, 65, Colorado, 65, and then the Nats, 61.5. You and I chatted before. I think we've had the conversation in the Discord. It's very active already, guys. You know, baseball is still like a couple months away, but we're dropping bets in there nonstop and things that we like. And I think the entire FTN crew is on the under in Colorado. It's 65.5. I don't even know if that's live. It may be like 63.5 now, Drew.
I see. I think I was just looking at the FTN prop shop before we went on. I think I saw a 67 for Colorado. Not sure where it was, but honestly, that's one number. And, you know, we were just talking about this, you know, these numbers haven't been out for very long. We've already seen a decent amount of movement. And that was really out of all the win totals, both in the AL and the NL. I really think I saw Colorado around 69 at first. That's the only one that really jumped out at me. And I would really look at that under at 65. It's a pass at 67.5. I'm probably passing there. I think that'll be just a little closer. And the Nationals way down there at the bottom, I've seen them as low as 59. Now, I wouldn't go under the 59. Anything in the 60s, I would kind of lean under just because, I mean, their team is a mess. One of the worst lineups you'll see. And, I mean, a bunch of question marks in the rotation as well. As far as overs go here, I would lean over on Atlanta. Don't really want to touch the Dodgers. They just lost so much major league talent in the offseason. Now, they were the deepest team in the game last year, so it shouldn't hurt them that much. But I just think that'd be, you know, a little tough to bet on them to win 96 or more.
I love the Braves squad. I mean, how could you not, right? I love the rotation. I love the bats, the young bats. They just have been doing it right, man, with some of these kids, and they're signing up to like all these friendly contracts. I really like Atlanta. I do think that they're the team to beat in the NL. And Quan tells us that 67.5 BetMGM -110 over and under. I lean to the under, man. They won 68 games last year. Cincinnati won 62, Pittsburgh won 62, and the Nats won 55, and they had Soto on their squad for quite some time, right? Like, yikes. Daily Handle says Giants over dream, 81.5. What do you make of the Giants? They're always a hard team for me to figure out. It's like every other year they're good.
It sounds like someone else knows one of my weaknesses. You know, I like the Giants rotation a lot. Webb, Cobb, Manea, Stripling, Wood, maybe a bunch of underappreciated guys, but I'm a big fan of the rotation. It's really hard to project how well you think they're going to do when you look at their lineup, though, right? Especially, like, I thought Correa was the perfect move for them. I know. It obviously didn't work out, but they're such a platoon-heavy team that, like, when you look at their lineup, you're like, this is not very good. Like, I don't think they're going to hit that well, and then they always kind of seem to surprise you. I would lean over to the Giants, but nothing really strong there.
They got Haniger in their lineup this year, Michael Conforto in their lineup this year. I'm with you on the rotation. I think you're a bigger Alex Cobb guy than I am.
That's my guy.
he's your guy. But Logan Webb is a stud. Shamania, right? He's shown some really good things. You know, he's just lives in Cali, like Oakland, San Diego, San Fran. So, like, it's a good pitcher's ballpark. We know what the organization has done with some of these arms. Definitely. As well, right? So they could maybe turn him around. Ross Stripling's in the rotation, Alex Wood again. So I do like the rotation. I actually think it's pretty underrated.
I thought it was pretty funny. It's like, how does Mitch Haniger and Mike Conforto pass a physical, and then you can't get Correa to pass one? But yeah, the rotation should be good. And actually, I read an article on Manea. He was actually a little disappointed in himself since the trade to San Diego last year. He just thought it was like a big adjustment for himself, and he didn't think he handled it as well. So he's a lot more prepared this year, is what he's saying. But it's, I think it's a great fit, and they'll probably try to, you know, I think they'll do a good job of unlocking his talent a little bit more than the Padres were able to.
Speaking of the Padres, what do you make of them? Are they overrated, or like every year their totals in around here? Of course, like Tatis is going to miss some time, but when he's in that lineup, man, is there a better four? Like Tatis, Soto, Machado, and Xander? Oh, that's a pretty solid four, man.
Definitely not a better four than that. Really, where what I'm afraid of with the Padres is the back end of their rotation, right? They're going to have Nick Martinez starting this year, and it looks like Seth Lugo is going to be their five. You know, he's a guy that I'm a big fan of. He's an elite relief pitcher. There's no doubt about that, but he's had injury concerns, and to have him penciled in as your five right now makes me a little bit nervous, especially when there's not that much depth behind him. So I really think like the Padres would be need to go out and sign like even like a Michael Wacha, just someone that they can count on to get a minimum of 150 innings. So the rotation makes me a little nervous, but yeah, I don't think there's a better four in baseball.
80-game suspension for Tatis, eligible to return April 20th, so he won't miss too much time, but that was pretty surprising, right, when we did hear that news, and they just got Soto, so we haven't really seen the whole band together. Josh Hader, if you remember, a big acquisition for them towards the end of last year as well.
And then we also saw them sign, you know, Nelson Cruz. I know he's like 43 years old, but he had his LASIK surgery. He said he can actually see the ball now.
Oh, baby.
Have Cruz as your seven hitter, like that's a
pretty good
lineup, right?
Yeah, absolutely, right? He can fill in if there's any injuries. He can move up and down the lineup. He's still like a guy that I, you know, would check a lot of boxes if, you know, DFS, if you're playing a lefty, you know, he's still got some power for sure. And you know, the eye surgery stuff has helped out athletes before in the past. We've seen it before in the past. He's still like, he's like fine wine with that guy, man. Like I'd say he could hit 20 bombs. I wouldn't be shocked if he hit 20 bombs this year.
I wouldn't either. And you look at what last year he was projected, or he was hitting what, like 3-4 in the Nationals lineup, at least to start the year. I mean, to have, like you said, like to have him at the bottom of your order. Right. Yeah. I mean, Matt Carpenter and Nelson Cruz as your 7 and 8, like you could do a lot worse than that.
Yeah, that is pretty solid. I kind of overlooked that. And Jake Cronenworth is a player I like as well. The lineup is good. The questions, I think, which you brought up, right? The back end of that rotation and some of those guys, if they can stay healthy, Blake Snell, if he can stay healthy, Musgrove, Darvish, like it's a good 1-2-3, but health is certainly going to be a big concern there as well. All right, giddy up. I kind of like the under on those, some of those brutal teams, though. I don't know. Like, again, which team is the best out of those? Is it the Pirates just because like some of their young kids are starting to like get into the system now? Like, I mean, the Nationals, of course, are not going to compete. They're the worst of the four, but who would you say has the better season, Pittsburgh or Cincinnati? It got to be the Pirates, right?
You know, my question with Pittsburgh, and I feel like we've been asking ourselves this for the last like 2 years now, is are they actually going to trade Reynolds? Like if they do trade him, then I would easily say that the Reds in this instance. But if they keep him, like you said, man, they have a bunch of young kids. Their lineup isn't bad. Obviously, I'm not buying into the Mitch Keller hype like folks do every year. But I definitely like Ronzi, and I mean they got Rich Hill. Their rotation isn't bad. As far as the Reds go, I really like their big three pitchers.
Oh yeah, me too.
I mean, Ashcraft, not as much as the other two guys, but I mean, it's really hard not to be in on Lodolo and Green at this point. You really don't know what you're going to get out of that lineup. It is a tiny ballpark. But yeah, I think it's between those two. And if you told me that the Pirates wouldn't be making that trade, then I would go Pittsburgh here.
There's no question the rotation. I'm a huge fan of Lodolo. I'm looking at Fangraphs, the projections for him and Green. They're both sub 4 ERA, 194 strikeouts in 156 innings for Green, and for Lodolo, 189 in 160. They both have tremendous pitches. Arsenal, like, through the roof, right? They got a lot of swing and miss in their repertoire, for sure. So I'm a big fan of both of those guys. But yeah, there's still a lot. There's going to be some growing pains, certainly, this year again for Pittsburgh and Cincinnati fans. All right, we'll take a quick break, Dream. Hang on, we'll be back. We'll get to the question daily handle in a little bit. Some, I think, some World Series stuff there for you. I do believe we have some World Series odds that we can take a look at. But we're going to switch gears just a little bit and dive deeper into the AL East. We're going to talk about Dream's O's, the Yankees rotation, take a look at the AL Rookie of the Year odds as well. A little bit more baseball talk here at Main Street. So we'll be back in a couple. Welcome back in Daily Handle. Maybe we revisit, we'll visit World Series odds maybe in the next block. I don't think we have a board for them, but we can just kind of rattle them off and just, you know, a little bit of a back and forth, kind of very similar to what we just did, I guess, with the win total. But let's just talk about the AL East here. So we have the Yankees up at the top. We saw the win total with the Yankees, right? I mean, this is always every year, right? 94, 95. I think with these odds too, Quan, when you do bring them up, we have the win totals next to them, and then we have in brackets, this is the odds to win the division. Now, I went into the prop shop and tried to find the best possible odds. So Yankees 94.5 for the win total, plus 115 to win the AL East. Use our prop shop, save you a lot of cash, save you a lot of time. The Blue Jays next at 90.5, plus 220 I'm seeing for them to win the division. The Rays at 88.5, plus 475. The Red Sox at 77.5, 20-1, and then the O's at 76.5 at 25-1. Let's just start with the Yankees. Like, we just talked about really good rotations. Dude, they got one. They got a really good rotation. And of course, we know about Judge and the historic season that he just had. Yankees, in your opinion, favored to win this division? You think it's right?
Yeah, I definitely think it's appropriate. I mean, honestly, it looked even better a couple weeks ago before they had to put Frankie Montas on the injured list with a shoulder that I think it's still an issue from last year. But the fact that he was their number five at that point is pretty sick. And their rotation is still really good. Right now they have Cortez penciled in as the four. Severino's back. Severino looked incredible towards the end of last year. He looked better than I think he ever has, even when before the injury. And if you look at some of the projections, they have Gerrit Cole and Carlos Rodon projected, I think it's two of the top four pitchers in baseball as far as steamer goes. So they have two legit studs. And, you know, everyone wants to always give Gerrit Cole crap and talk about how overrated he is. Yet the guy, like, pretty much every year you can pencil him in for, like, an ERA of, like, no higher than three and, you know, give his 220 innings, his 32 starts, which, you know, is pretty rare these days. I'm having an issue with the same thing, I guess, that kind of held the Yankees back last year, especially in the postseason, and it's their lineup, like the bottom three of the order. I mean, even having what they have Donaldson projected to hit fifth or sixth right now. I mean, he looks like he's pretty much done. His best highlights were hitting balls to the warning track and, you know, pimping singles and flyouts from last year. So if anything, it's their lineup that makes me nervous. But their pitching, I think they'll have one of the best rotations, probably the best rotation in baseball and one of the best bullpens in baseball again.
Yeah, they got Gleyber Torres leading off right now, again, according to FanGraphs, and they got Donaldson in that five spot, which you alluded to, Harrison Bader, who was, you know, he's not going to bring the same type of power that he did last year in the playoffs. I would relax with that. Aaron Hicks in there in the seventh spot. This is a guy that unfortunately hasn't been able to stay healthy, but you're right about Steamer. The strikeouts for Rodon and for Gerrit Cole, like 482. Each of them over 230, right? Cole at 251 and Carlos at 231, and both of them plus 30 starts and 199 the innings for Gerrit Cole, 178 for Carlos Rodon. Like, it's a pretty good 1-2 punch. I know you're a big fan of Nestor as well. Like, Cortez, I feel like you and I were definitely on him quite a bit when it came to, like, strikeout props and things like that. We kind of touched on the Jays, but they're second on that board in the win total and plus 220. And what I liked from the Jays was that, I mean, I do like their rotation a little, certainly, but they got some lefty bats in their lineup now, right? Varsho, Brennan Belt, say what you want about Belt, say what you want about Kevin Kiermaier, but it was just like such a heavy right-handed lineup. It just felt like they needed to sprinkle in some lefties. Alec Manoah, Kevin Gausman, Jose Barrios, we've picked on quite a bit since you and I have been chopping it up. Chris Bassett, and then Kikuchi's another guy that I just really don't care for that much as a real life pitcher, but he shows some flashes, I suppose. But that rotation's pretty solid, man. Like, if Barrios can kind of find his game a little bit, it's a decent four. You agree?
No, I think you nailed it there with Barrios. I think he pitched a little bit better towards the end of the year last year. Don't really know what to expect from him, but even around an ERA around 4.2, 4.3, I think they'd be pleased with. And coming from your number four, like, that's pretty great. I do love the Bassett signing, and you nailed it, man. They were so righty heavy last year that it really, you know, made problems for their lineup, and now they could easily go with three or four lefties in that lineup when they're facing a righty. And hey, I know our buddy Vlad Sedler's a big Brandon Belt guy. It's kind of hard not to be. I love the guy too, the captain. I like that move too, man. DH, you know, pencil in there versus the righties if you can just stay healthy. I really like the kind of the under the radar moves that the Blue Jays have made this year. And also they moved some of the fences in. I think they also might have made the walls a little higher. I'm still need to dig into that a little bit more, but you know, we should see a little bit more offense from guys like Matt Chapman as well, especially now he's what 2 years removed from the hip injury. So he's a guy I really like as well.
Ton of power up and down their lineup, like Springer, Bichette, Vlad, obviously. You know, they got Varsho for 29 home runs, Chapman for 31. So, like, there's a lot of power up and down their lineup. I really do feel like even, you know, Belt, if he can stay healthy here and there, just having that lefty sprinkled in is really key. I guess the Rays, like, what do you make of this team? Like, everyone just always, it's the same deal, right? Nobody really gives them any credit for the Rays. But at the end of the day, like I said in the last block, they just always seem to be their dream.
I feel like I've been saying this every year now for the last 2 or 3 years. I love their pitching, right? They have another great bullpen. McClanahan, great last year. I know he didn't get that Cy Young for us, but it was pretty close. And, you know, they'll have Glasnow for at least, you know, 120, 140 innings, something in that range. They went on signed to Eflin, another guy that I like. And, you know, Jeffrey Springs at the bottom of that rotation is actually a guy that I wrote up in Vlad Sedler's fantasy guide. Rode him whenever they posted his K props at about 3.5 or 4.5. It took a while for those to adjust. So I love their pitching. It's just the offense, man. I feel like they'd probably be a playoff team with like a slightly better than league average offense. But again, that's not something you can necessarily bank on. I think it pretty much comes down to Wander Franco. If he's the player that they expect him to be and he lives up to that talent, at least starts showing a lot of it, then yeah, I do think you can pencil them in for the playoffs. But if their offense is kind of where it was last year, I don't think they can get it done.
I know I'm not crazy about their offense, and that's why I don't really like feel like they're a legitimate contender. But the rotation of the bullpen, to your point, hopefully McClanahan can stay healthy. You know, they got him for 181 innings there, over 200 strikeouts. This guy's an absolute baller, man. He's
and you know, the lineup is a little bit like we were talking about with the Giants, right? It's like a lot of like platoon guys. So it's also hard for me to project when you're looking at their bench and their guys now. But again, I think it comes down to their offense.
Let's take another quick break. We'll dive into the Red Sox and your O's. And maybe some World Series stuff. We may have to save that. We're kind of running a little short on time, but I do want to obviously, you know, you're so in tune with Baltimore. So, and they got a lot of nice young pieces, dude. And they were hanging around last year. They're one of the better teams in the second half of last season. So hang tight. We still got a little bit more baseball talk here with Dream. Chris Meaney, MLB Dream, MLB Dream on the Twitter machine. We are diving into the AL East. Quan, if you don't mind, let's chuck that board back up. Let's take a look at those two bottom teams. Of course, long shots to win the AL East. I'm surprised, dude, that the Red Sox actually are just, you know, one more win. I know it's just one more win, but I actually like this O's team a little bit better than Boston. But what's your thoughts on the Red Sox? Of course, they lost Xander, which we touched on. They did lock up Rafael Devers. They brought in Justin Turner. Masataka, of course, that they signed. He's potentially going to lead off for them. Chris Sale, Kluber. Remember James Paxton, Canadian boy, in the rotation as of now. Hopefully he can stay healthy. You mentioned the bullpen, right? Kenley Jansen, Chris Martin. They do have some arms inside that bullpen for sure. A better team than Baltimore, though?
I think it's – I don't know if better. They're probably pretty close, as you can see by the numbers there. Yeah. You just don't know, again, what they're going to get out of that rotation, right? Like Whitlock, Paxton, and Sale, I have a hard time projecting the number of innings they're going to get out of those arms. And again, I'll bring this up with the Orioles as well, but I think they'd be pretty wise to do a couple of piggybacking starts there as well. There's a couple, like, why not Paxton and Whitlock, or even Whitlock and Sale? I kind of like the Kluber move. He'll eat a bunch of innings for them. And, you know, we talked about the rule changes with scheduling. I want to say I read that Pivetta had a ERA of over 7, I think, versus the Blue Jays and the
Yankees. Oh, he got rocked against the Jays and Yankees all year.
Right. And then if you look at his ERA outside the division, I think it was below 3 in the 2.7 range. So that'll help him a decent amount. I don't know. The joke I was making pretty much most of the offseason, it's like, it looks like the Red Sox like kind of built their team to lose a bunch of games 2-1 and then 3-1 with that great bullpen. Again, we said this a couple times, the bottom of their lineup isn't that great. Now it looks a little bit better with Duvall in there, with Turner, you know, those are professional hitters. I do expect Devers to probably get close to 40 home runs. He was a guy that I was kind of had my eye on, thought had a little bit of value when we were looking at the MVP or the, what were we talking about? I guess, yeah, the MVP odds.
The MVP odds,
I'm more going to focus on waiting for his home run prop to kind of see what that's at. And I will probably end up on the over there. I love Cassis, who played first base for them. I think he has a great eye, great OBP. He's a guy that I really like. I think he'll perform pretty well, but I just don't think this lineup is going to be that consistent.
And I like Cassis as well. They got a couple of young players that we're going to see, right, get some full-time roles for them this year. And we will dive into home run props, and we'll do the same thing we did last year with some home run leaders, take some long shots. So there's usually some sneaky good odds there. Like, I know, remember Jordan Alvarez was like 25-1 to lead the American League in home runs. And I know we missed a little bit of time, but this is a guy that, you know, a good power hitter that had long odds like that. Pretty solid. All right, Baltimore, your O's. We got a couple different boards here. Quan, if you want to roll through them. So you see the 76.5, 25.1. We also have a team board with some fantasy options. And then we have this one here, 25-1, as I mentioned, like longer shots, but we're going to do this with all the teams, 71 World Series and 35-1. Can we transition over to the fantasy assets? So I took this data from the last 4 weeks, high stakes drafts over at NFBC. I got them in order here of where they're getting drafted. Cedric Mullins up at the top. Adley, of course, like a top four catcher. You see C4. He's going as like on average as the 60th pick and the catcher four off the board. Reliever Batista in there as well. Gunnar Henderson, who is favored to win the AL Rookie of the Year. You can bring that up at any time if you want to as well. You're looking at this board. Man, there's some... So the other board, there's some reasons to be excited about Baltimore. Dream, talk to me about your O's. What do you expect this year? What do you expect from some of those kids and some of those names you saw on the board? Would they be fantasy targets for you in drafts?
I don't know. Like, I don't do too much fantasy. I usually have only one redraft. I do think the Orioles are better than they were last year, and I still kind of think their ceiling is kind of where it was last year. I know a lot of people were disappointed they didn't spend money in free agency, which I get. It would have been nice for them to sign, you know, one of those guys. I'd probably be a little bit more optimistic at that point. But I mean, like, Adam Frazier's an upgrade over Odor. I know it's not a huge upgrade. And then I do think Kyle Gibson is an upgrade over Jordan Lyles. Now, people laugh when the Orioles sign these guys and they're penciled in as their number one and number two starters. Lyles had a 3.7 FIP at home at Camden. I think it was right around there versus righties as well. He got rocked versus lefties and rocked on the road. But Baltimore is like a pretty good place for guys to pitch that have home run issues. And that's pretty much how you can label Kyle Gibson, whose slider looked great at the end of last year. I saw some numbers about some people breaking that down. So I do think Gibson will probably have an ERA around four, if not below four. You know, the bullpen will be lights out. I mean, the O's, like, I think you can pretty much expect them now to get the most out of guys. Even another guy like Cole Irvin kind of fits that mold as well. I just don't really see them, I guess, taking the next step this year. I kind of expect more of the same of what we saw last year, especially in the second half.
Yeah, but you're right. The rotation in the bullpen did improve. I know the park dimensions kind of helped that as well. And a lot of people, myself included, dude, I did laugh at the Jordan Lyles signing, but he was good. Like, I was just kept seeing, like, wow, this guy again, Jordan Lyles at home. He's been really, really good. I got to keep you for one more block. We got to, you know, get the commercial breaks in here. So hang tight. I got to hear more about Gunnar. I got to get your thoughts on Gunnar, and we'll wrap up with that one. So keep your lock. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Hang tight. All right, so maybe not a lot of fantasy assets. I know you said you don't play too much redraft, but maybe not a lot of fantasy assets on this Baltimore Orioles squad. But, Quan, if you can bring it up again, the NFBC over the last 4 weeks, the average draft position. Man, Gunnar's getting some steam. As you see here, he's the eighth third baseman off the board. He's a top 100 pick. We saw a little bit from him last year, 34 games, four bombs, just the one stolen base in AAA in 22. Actually, went through AA and AAA in 2022. I mean, power speed combo, 19 homers combined in AA, AAA, 22 stolen bases. The projections are all over the place, but did you see the one from Zips? 24 bombs, 100 runs, 90 RBI, 14 ribbies, hitting 260. That's pretty good. As you transition over to the rookie AL odds, of course, he is the favorite. Dude, if he has a season like that, he's winning the award. Talk to me about this kid, man.
I mean, yeah, this is pretty much his award to lose, and I had not noticed those Zips projections that have him, you know, as crazy, a 5-win player. I mean, Steamer still has him as a 4.1, which I think is probably a little more accurate to what we can expect from him. You know, 20 home runs, like you said, and a solid on base. I bet a little bit here when I think it was Bookmaker posted these at plus 450. It wasn't very much. Those numbers actually moved rather quickly. And it's interesting how much some of these numbers have moved in less than a week. I know Oscar Colas, I think that's how you pronounce his name. Mm-hmm. But yeah, somebody told me to bet him when he was at 45 or 44-1. So that one's moved significantly. I think he'll have a chance to win the White Sox right field job. But at this point, I don't love Gunner at 3-1. If you can get something maybe a little bit closer to 4-1, that might still be a small bet. But I'm not really loving the rest of this board. And you know, you see Grayson up there as well. I don't think he's gonna probably get enough innings to win the award. I think they're gonna be pretty careful with him. You saw how they handled Tyler Wells last year, or if you didn't, they kind of let him go 3-4 innings, his first handful of starts. So, you know, instead of shutting a guy down for the last 2 months, they just wanna kind of limit their workload and keep them in the rotation throughout the season with a couple, you know, IL breaks here and there. But I'm kind of expecting more of the same with Grayson Rodriguez as well.
I agree. Grayson and Hunter Brown, I think they're both traps. I think like they're really going to be really good pitchers, but I don't think either guy, like even Hunter Brown, I don't even think he's in the rotation right now. I'm going to be cautious with these guys. I don't think they're going to have enough innings. I do think it's Gunner's award to lose, and I agree 3-1 it's not all that appealing. I think if there is a long shot, it's Masataka here at 10-1 as another guy. You know, we'll see how he transitions coming over to North America to play baseball, but you know, a good eye, good contact. I don't think he's got a ton of power, but, you know, lead off potentially with a Red Sox lineup that does have some interesting bats behind him. And a lot of projections have him as like a 300 hitter. Again, slash line 302, 380, 484. Like, that's pretty solid for a rookie bat. If they can flirt with a 300 average, I think they'll kind of hang around. But there's definitely a higher ceiling there with Gunner. Appreciate you, Dream. This is awesome. I know we could chop it up for days and days and days, and hopefully you'll come back and we can do another division and dive into some World Series stuff and some other futures. We'll say goodbye for now. Yeah, I was gonna say, and good luck with all your props and Super Bowl picks and Super Bowl props, but we'll chop it up again soon, dude. We'll take a quick break. We're gonna wrap up Mean Streets with an NHL prop. Hang tight. Mr. Roper, this is for you. He says, great shot props yesterday. Much appreciated. Needs to build a bankroll for the Super Bowl. So let's keep the winners flowing. Actually, I have one pick for you. That's it. Just one pick. Check out ftmbets.com/free. Sign up for free and check out the rest. Also, Dangle Bet Seller. We got a lot of picks and props over there as well. It's Frank Vatrano. Over 2.5 shots, plus 100. Bet Rivers, 24 shots on goal in his last four games. 5-7-8-4. A matchup against the Blackhawks since January 1st at 5-5 per 60, according to Natural Stat Trick. The Blackhawks allowed the fourth most shot attempts, the fourth most shots, the second most high danger chances. They also have the second highest expected goals against rate. I think Frank Vatrano may find the back of the net, but we do need him to have 3 shots tonight. Also, keep an eye on Troy Terry. He left early last night, and I don't know if he's going to play. That could mean more ice time for Frank Vatrano, possibly some power play one time as well for the Anaheim Duck forward. Good luck on the ice tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. Cheers.